Well, hello once again, lovely people, for an 11 p.m. nightcap. Let's pour ourselves a drink and settle in for the tales of the weekend. Does that make sense? I'm currently like wigging out a little bit. I am flipping the fuck out. I think I made a horrible mistake. Devin Kosa says it's an unstoppable, indescribable, undisputed alpha cigar coil. Devin Kosa, how you doing, my friend? Hope you're doing well. Go ahead and join me with a freshly poured spirit, sir. But how was your weekend? How are you doing? I'll have to tell you, this piece of advice. If you decide to fast, so I decided today that I was going to fast today. So, because I ate a lot and drank a lot yesterday. We had a party that was going on. It was busy. This weekend was busy. Last night I ate a lot. So I was like, okay, I'm going to fast today. Let the system recover. I had some stuff to do in the morning. Needed to get my massage therapy. So I was like, yes, let's just skip breakfast. Because I have to do that in the morning. Who wants to like lay there and whatever when you're all like fat from a big morning breakfast? I don't want to be full of eggs and bacon and toast and all that. So I was like, let's fast. King Dinosaur says, I am also enjoying a freshly poured spirit. I've decided from now on, I'm only going to drink if I'm alone or with somebody. So, I was trying to think of a clever way to phrase when you couldn't drink if you were with nobody. Yes, so if you were with Bob Odenkirk as an action hero, you could not drink because you would be with nobody. Ha ha. Devin Koza says, yes, sir, will do. It was a good weekend full of adventure. What sort of adventures did you take, if you don't mind sharing? Black Cat, good to see you too. But I decided, hey, let's fast. So, I didn't eat today. I just had a zero-calorie energy drink. And decided in the afternoon, let's go take a motorcycle ride. Because even though it was a bit on the cooler side, it was bright and sunny and just beautiful looking. So, I went out on a nice motorcycle ride. And then decided, hey, as I was going around in a big loop, I'm going to stop in, I'm going to have one beer and read a little bit. So I did just that. I stopped in, I had one beer, read for a little while, and then drove home. And then when I got home, I was like, okay, let's do some chores and some straightening up around the house. Yes, I'm hungry, but I feel okay. Like the fasting's going well, I feel all right. So dinner time rolls around. It's time to get some food. And this local place by me had a dinner special where they had 16-inch spicy Italian grinders, a large steak fries, and a can of soda, which I ordered and proceeded to eat and drink all of except for one small portion of said grinder. And I feel like I'm having some sort of sodium dehydration, weird heart explode, heart attack thing going on. It's not great. I feel like I might have made the mistake in that if you're going to do a fast, you probably then shouldn't, for your first meal, just completely fucking pig out. Because I don't feel so great. What an idiot. What a fucking jackass. I should have had like a watercress tea sandwich and a biscuit or something. No, I ate a giant fucking buttered toasted grinder bread with mayo and salami and yellow peppers and fucking giant thick cut steak fries. Some big honkers. Yeah, so I feel like shit. I should have just not ate. I felt better before I was eating. Maybe that's the lesson that I should have learned. Fucking dummy. What an idiot. Yep. Black cat. You got it. Fully armed. Dash V drinks alone with nobody else. Because you know that when he drinks alone, he prefers to be by himself. He doesn't even drink, but he likes the vibe of that song. It's a good tune. We're gonna have to do an episode about George Thorogood one day. King Dinosaur loves this idea of the killer sandwich, but for weekend adventures, Devin Kosa had meals with friends and family members, and then did some shopping and had a Sunday fun day with the family. And then tried to get me to come out for a Cigar Friday. Yes, I was packing. I had packing to do. I'm really trying to get on top of preparing for this cross-country move. I feel like I need a whole nother weekend to recover from my weekend. Just oof. Black Cat ate like crap today too, just sitting around taking it easy. Well, you don't want to blow your back out. But also, I feel like this wasn't even so much, I don't know, probably maybe over sodium or something, because my mouth feels all creamy. But I think I just overate. I should have ate about half of what I ate. It's like a feeding machine when I get hungry. Just could not stop eating. Can't stop eating. Dash V, how was your weekend? And again, cheers to all of you out there. Probably too much sodium in that, too. I feel like I need to drink like 1,000 gallons of water. Krista, oh my, is it Sunday already? Damn, can this month end already? Well, yes, and yes, it is both Sunday, and the month is close to being over. Well, I mean, we got 2 weeks, so I guess it's not that close to being over. Happy frog faces and giant hearts from Krista. Krista, hello. Oh man, now I have a craving for grape juice. I shouldn't even thought of grape juice. First day of spring. Yes, first day of spring. I don't know about you, but I do at least feel a little bit of some energy coming back. From the whole winter, sleepy, cold, hibernation thing. Yeah, it was a little on the cooler side, but man, it was nice to see some sunshine, see some people out walking around, see some signs of life. I have to say, I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of birds, especially since the birds now have decided that, hey everyone, are you up yet? No? Well, I know. Let's all just tweet and make a whole lot of fucking noise to wake you up. Stop. Can you just indoor voices, please, birds? Black Cat, you're getting a blizzard in the morning? That's not so awesome. Come on, we can be over with that shit. I want no more snow. Be done with it. Winter, you're out of here. It's springtime now. You can fuck off. Birds aren't real. They might not be. That might just be some prank that somebody pulled and put speakers and shit in the trees as like a psyop. Wouldn't that be wild? We've got King Dinosaur moved a whole box from from the floor to the fucking closet. Jesus, dude, are you gonna be all right? Like, you might want to take an Epsom salt bath, maybe drink a protein drink, get take some BCAAs. Like, man, Black Cat loves the birds. Well, I know there's a lot of people who love birds. I like watching them when occasionally I'm like taking for a walk in the woods, but the morning birds outside in the trees behind my house can just fucking fuck off. So, birdsaren'treal.com. They're all just little drones. Krista comments, since Friday afternoon, I found out two more people have passed. My cousin is be is wait, my cousin in the beginning of the month, and my wifey's sister Friday morning. Well, I'm so sorry to hear that, Krista. It's always hard to hear about people that you care for passing away. Geez, it was a sort of a rough year for me too. That's also not over. Trying to not focus. Well, we have another family member who's in some declining mental health, and we don't think it is going to be too long. So, it's always rough. It's just tough. I feel like this winter, springtime, especially this year, I feel like I don't know if it was the rebound from people trying to hang in and hold on while the COVID thing was going on or what, but swear it felt like January rolled around and just like everybody died. Like, Jesus. So I'm really sorry. I hope you're able to find some way to get some sleep or rest. I know that's not easy. If you ever need to talk about it, I'm always here for you. King Dinosaur, you need a cortisone shot? I mean, you might want to get a cortisone shot. You might want to wrap all your joints. Maybe get on some steroids. Government drones, if it flies, it spies. Heels in the sky, American spy. It's if you can't Slav squat properly and your heels lift. That's how they know you're from the United States and not a true Slavic. And then they blast you one. Krista prays for us all constantly. Well, thank you so much. That's very sweet of you. Think about all you guys all the time. So that's mutual in that regard. I'm always worried about how you're all doing out there. It's been a rough couple of years. So, oof. So, going to share another little story. So we had a post belated St. Patrick's Day party. A couple of friends of mine hosted that yesterday. And that ran from like, well, for me it was like 4 o'clock until, I don't know, midnight or something, because they live a little bit of a distance away. And it was raining, so we had like a pretty decent spring rain that was coming down. When I said oof, you felt my breath. It's kind of spooky. Oof. Gamer Lab One. Hi, chat. Hi, Cigar. Gamer Lab One. How are you? How was your weekend? Hope you're doing well. But this house that we went to, that this party was hosted in, is out in the country, and it was raining. So I showed up, parked, got out, was having a few beers, chilling out with the folks there. And one of our friends that was arriving, we suddenly hear the host's wife go, "Oh no." We're like, what's going on? And so we go outside and we look out the front window. And this person's car is sinking into the front lawn. They had made a horrible mistake. What they were trying to do was loop and turn around so that they could then back up and park parallel to me on sort of this little gravel turnaround spot. But to do that, they decided to sort of go off this gravel driveway the way they were going to turn around. As soon as they got off the gravel driveway, they encountered the fact that the spring thaw plus rain plus a very high clay content of soil equals a material very much like quicksand, in which their all-wheel drive SUV promptly sank up to the bumpers. So we're like, oh, shit. So I have a small handful of slightly drunk people trying to figure out, oh my god, how are we going to get her fucking car out of the mire, basically. It's basically a mire. I mean, it's a mud swamp. So, a few points of note. Number one, I'm going to ask you all this question, and if you don't know the answer to this question, write this down. Where's the recovery point on your vehicle? If you don't know what that means, what that is if you get stuck, whether that's in the mud, the ditch, off the road, in water, elsewhere, whatever, what can I hook a tow strap to on your vehicle to pull it? No, it's not the bumper. No, it's not the axle. There is some sort of spot somewhere on almost all vehicles that is a recovery point. A lot of SUVs, trucks, or Jeeps, they are the little hooks you see in the front. No, those are not for towing. Those are recovery hooks. On a lot of other vehicles, the little square things you see in the bumpers that you're like, why are there little separated pieces of plastic in the bumper? It's, well, because if you pop those out, there's usually a little bolt in there, like an eye bolt, that you can put a recovery hook through. Sometimes it's down underneath the front bumper, two little pieces of metal that are somehow attached to the frame or body of the vehicle. But you need to know what it is. You need to write that down, figure it out, watch a YouTube video, look online, read the manual, but you need to know where the recovery point is on your vehicle. Because I asked her, I have a pickup truck, I have a four-wheel drive pickup truck, I have a tow strap, I have a bully rope, I have an eye shackle. It doesn't know where a recovery point is. And like, I'm fairly certain it's probably right there under the front bumper on the frame, which we can't get to because your car has sank into the mud. Point number two. If you have an all-wheel drive vehicle, I'm not saying this is for all-wheel drive vehicles, but again, I would urge you to read the manual for your particular vehicle on this note. But in this particular case, her vehicle has a thing right in the instruction booklet. If you get stuck and if you are being towed, do not pull the vehicle from the rear. That can damage and or destroy the all-wheel drive system. So you cannot attach anything to the back of it and pull it backwards. You must pull it forwards. Doesn't matter if it's a neutral or not, apparently. Don't do that. You will wreck your fucking car. That's also the case where a lot of four-wheel drive or all-wheel drive vehicles, you cannot tow them by taking the front two wheels off the ground and putting them on some sort of little lift or platform, like if you were going to tow it behind a trailer. A lot of them need to either have all four wheels off the ground or need to have some sort of special transmission release where you release, you know, like on the one truck I had, when you're going to put it in four-wheel drive, you can actually put that differential, I guess, in neutral, and the vehicle in neutral. If you don't do that, you will wreck your fucking car. So you need to know that stuff. Because if you get stuck and you don't know, I can't help you. And I'm not going to, because I'm not going to destroy your fucking car and then have you yell and scream at me that I wrecked your car when you were the person in the first place that got fucking stuck. So don't do none of that. Plus, you need to know where your recovery point is. Number two, if you do, and are you going to do that? A ratchet strap is not a tow rope. A tow rope is not a recovery strap. A fucking regular rope is not a recovery strap or rope or tow rope. Neither is some chain that you just found in your garage. And if you are going to use a towing chain, that towing chain better be so fucking strong, because I will tell you right now, you don't believe me? Go online, either on YouTube or elsewhere, and look at videos or pictures of people who have used things that aren't for recovery. And watch what happens when it snaps and the end of that, like a fucking bullet, shoots a hole through your car, vehicle, window, person, or something else. But the force you put that under, if and when that snaps, is literally deadly. You will fuck your shit up. Don't do it. If it is not an actual recovery strap, please do not use it to recover another vehicle. Also, if you have a recovery strap and you decide, hey, that little bolt knob on the back of my vehicle, I just put the end around that, right? No, you don't. That is not a recovery point. That is for towing a trailer. You do not put a recovery strap around the fucking tow knob. New. You don't use that for that. You either need to have a hook or you need to have like the little U-bolt shackle, the bolt in the middle. You don't put it on the bulb. Do not. Again, you will break that, you will shear that thing off, and it will go flying like a fucking cannon and destroy a person's face or something else. So don't do that. Also, if you decide to use a carabiner to attach the recovery strap to your car, don't fucking do that either. That's bonkers. No fucking way. Tying in a knot is a little bit silly, but could maybe work. My wholehearted recommendation is what you want to use are these things. I think they're called bully ropes. I think that was the one that I bought that's called. And what that looks like is a giant nylon rope-looking testicle with a giant two pieces of rope that comes around with one piece that's banded and makes a little loop. And so what you do is you take the little testicle thing out of the loop and you straighten it out and you slide that through whatever eye bolt is on whatever vehicle that you're trying to recover. You slide that through there and then through the loop on the recovery strap and then you slide the little testicle thing in and you cinch it. That's got like a 32,000-pound braking strength. And if it does break, it's like throwing a piece of braided rope in the air. There's no mass to basically be a deadly projectile. Those are pretty cheap. If you are going to do any recovery on anyone for anything, for whatever reason, at the very least, have one of those. Probably a good idea to have two of them because then you can use the other one, attach it to the U-bolt shackle that you should have on your towing vehicle that you're going to do the recovery. But please, for the love of God, do not just attach some rope to two bumpers of two vehicles. That is not how you're going to just rip your fucking cars in half. Don't fucking do it. If you don't know what you're doing with recovering a vehicle that's stuck or off the road or whatever, do not fuck with that. You better. Say it costs you $500 to come out and have a place. Well, you'll do more than $500 worth of damage to at least one vehicle if you try to do that. So I'm just saying, Cigar Goyle Advice Squad, don't fucking do it. We just wrap it around the bumper. Like, no. You will just rip that fucking half of the car off. Watch the one where he pulls the whole fucking trunk of the car off. He puts it on something, like, he hooks it to some hole, I think, that's in the bottom of the trunk. He rips the whole back of the car off. Just destroys his fucking car. Dash V, you saw that firsthand last October. Mind telling us kind of what happened there? I'd be interested to know. But yes, you can use like, hey, 2x4s behind the wheels to try to bridge it. Now, how do we end up getting this vehicle out of the mud? My buddy had these two metal, they're basically like skids, and you can kind of use them as loading ramps. But in this case, what we did is he took them and he angled them down and used a little bit of a sledgehammer and tapped them so they would go down in the mud and under the rear wheels. And then we had my friend straighten her wheels out, and she very slowly backed up, turn your all-wheel drive system, turn the stability track off, turn all that off, very gently give it some gas in reverse. We all pushed. And as soon as she got some momentum, it's like, all right, you know, you got to give it some more gas. And she was able to get up out of the mud and out of the gravel driveway. Only damage to the vehicles, one of the little mud flap fender pieces near the front, one of the little clips looks like it's popped out. But that's a pretty easy, that's just a little nylon clip. You can buy them online and just pop it back in there. But shit is no joke. And those vehicles are great until they get totally stuck. In before it sounds like I'm throwing all sorts of shade on all-wheel drive SUVs, that mud there is so bad that my buddy that lives there, he got his Dodge 2500 heavy-duty diesel with big-ass tires fucking stuck back there. Just fucking sank in the ground. Like, and then they had to get some older guy that lives nearby to come out with a tractor and fucking pull it out. That's what that's like. It's literally, it's like clay quicksand. You get stuck in that and you're not going anywhere. Dash V says, the short version of the dude lost his bumper and was still stuck and the strap almost snapped as well. You're like saying, don't use that way. Question is, why are people driving while under the influence? Well, the people in this instance were not driving under the influence. The people that showed up to the party were sober. They went off the driveway and got stuck. The rest of us that were in the house were drinking and then came outside and were like, well, okay, we have to clear our brain fog a little bit because her car is going to continue to sink into this mud. So no, there were no people that were driving under the influence. All-wheel drive can be great or cursed if the ground is too soft, it just digs you in deeper quicker. Well, I mean, and it's not for off-roading. Come on, Krista. The fuck? I was just joking. No, we were just like the drunken people inside who saw her go off the driveway and sink. We're all like, oh, fuck. As we'd already been, I think, two beers and two shots deep. And it's, all right, let's go out in the rain and try to slip and fall around in the mud and help her from getting her car fucking wrecked. All right, guys, let's see if we can fucking do this. But the all-wheel drive on those, like, it's, I mean, on most of the consumer vehicles, that's meant to help you, you know, not spin out, hydroplane, get stuff. I mean, it's not a true off-roading system unless you're on some rally car. I mean, those aren't designed to, but again, even in heavy mud like that, again, my buddy's truck, that's a heavy-duty lifted diesel truck, and it got fucking stuck. So it's not going to matter. And so after we got her out of the mud and on the driveway, we were talking and laughing. I'm like, all right, what lesson did you learn? And she's like thinking for a minute. And I'm like, stay on the gravel. You like when you were on country roads, if you go off the gravel, you're probably going to sink into something. Stay on the gravel. Do not drive off the gravel. If the ground is any wet up here, you will just sink. They had two guys. They had they were taking some golfing trip and they brought this van. And so they bring this van off this golfing trip. It gets stuck. Another guy comes out with a tractor to get the van unstuck. The tractor sinks. So then they had to get a tractor to recover the tractor to recover the van. And that tractor almost got nearly stuck. So you gotta figure, those vehicles, like, if they're gonna get stuck, your SUV is gonna get stuck. Your all-wheel drive system's not gonna be able to handle that. And besides which, the tires, it's not like they're mudding tires, you know. I think she had like her pseudo winter all season tires on. That's not gonna get you out of mud. I mean, you may as well be wearing a fucking racing slick. You're trying to text and pay attention, getting confused. Then again, trying, wait, then again, not hard to confuse. It's all good. It's no worries. But yeah, I wouldn't advocate for driving drunk. As a matter of fact, that particular part of the reason why I didn't get home until late was because we all sat and sobered up watching the original Terminator and drinking coffee. I think I drank too much coffee because I got that like weird strung out, like, ugh. I couldn't stop farting. God, the fart. All right, let's take a break and we'll be right back. All right, everybody, so listen up. I'd like you all to join me in something, okay? So, today is, well, may or maybe not exactly today, but it's Kurgan's birthday. And so, as you all know, graciously at the beginning of these episodes, Kurgan has played some badass music and has graciously allowed me to play that at the front of all of my episodes. He stopped in time and time again to join us here in the chat and has also provided us some entertaining movies of himself cooking and grilling steaks. So, what I would like to do is have everybody join me for a moment here and sing Kurgan a happy birthday. You ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Kurgan. Happy birthday to you. Hey, raise a glass. Here's a cheers to Kurgan. And that's the reason why the title of the episode is Clancy Brown, because Clancy Brown played the Kurgan, which is what still and kind of used to Kurgan looked like. And we're going to take a minute and talk about that. Because I asked Kurgan if I could do sort of an episode on him. He's like, well, what's it going to be about? And I said, it's going to be on how you inspired me and I admire you. So I did and didn't know Kurgan growing up. I met him in junior high school. And in junior high school, I was still very much a little guy, border average guy, but I was not necessarily tall, and I was very skinny, scrawny. And Kurgan, in my estimation, was pretty much a full-grown giant. I don't know, he might have been 6'2" or bigger than that in junior. The guy was mad. He was a giant dude. And honestly, a little scary. I thought he was a little fucking scary. And didn't really know too much of the guy. Other than, strangely, in lunch, where we had the large lunch cafeteria. Yeah, all the way back. Isn't that wild? I've known that dude for a long time. In lunch, strangely, rather than sitting necessarily with what I would mentally have described as the thugs and bullies and I don't know, just generally the these people are going to pick on me and beat me up and make my life a living hell. He actually would occasionally come and sit over and around where me and several of my other friends used to sit. But to roll the clock forward a little bit and to not have this take up 1800 years of time, because oh, the stories I could tell about my adventures with the man. He got in a fight with a guy in junior high school that, again, I feel like was a full-grown adult. We had some people where they were either held back in school or transferred from other areas where they had probably either been kicked out of school or their families relocated. But we occasionally, I had what I feel like we're just like full-grown men and adults in our just in our fucking grade. And so I had this guy, I'm not gonna name his name, but he I don't even remember how it started. All I know is that there was a sudden commotion outside the lunchroom. And I see Kurgan just more or less kicking the crap out of this guy. And it wasn't like the other guy wasn't fighting back, but this guy that he was fighting was regarded, at least as far as I knew, as a don't ever look at that guy the wrong way or he'll kill you. He's a, you know, he's a giant monster or whatever too. And Kurgan's just got this dude on the ground, just like beating him in the head. And I remember these teachers coming in to try and break it up. And Kurgan just kind of like one hand swatting him out of the way. Not like punching him in the face, but just like pushing him back, like, no, we're not done with this. And they finally kind of get Kurgan back and up and off this guy as they pull him away. And this dude gets up and his shirt's all fucking ripped off. And he's got lumps on his fucking head and everything. And he kind of makes like he wants to go back and get some more. And I think Kurgan gave him a second helping of that dessert. But that, at least for a little while, sort of had Kurgan attain legendary status. And I will for always remember you as, I don't know, man. You, at an age where I was just a pipsqueak of a dude, you were never mean to me. You never picked on me. And even though I thought you were again a little bit scary, it was refreshing to see you be a man of character and stand up to that son of a bitch and kick his ass. So here's a cheers to you, because sometimes you do what you gotta do. Was kind of a Cobra Kai episode. Yeah, and there's other shenanigans, I think, like that there's some fallout, whatever, after that. But I think more or less, and Kurgan, I haven't really talked to you about the whole rest of the surrounding of that story, at least not in ages. But I think there was a, I don't know, there was some sort of pseudo, this ain't over, whatever thing. And people were basically like, dude, why don't you let it go? That guy's just, he's just gonna fucking give you another dose of ass kicking. Just fucking let it go. And as it turns out, as a dumb kid trying to figure out and find his way through the world, Kurgan, even though he may look like the Kurgan and be a giant, just mountain of a dude, is extremely smart. He is not just some, I don't know, knuckle-dragging jerk. He is extremely smart. He's got just a great fucking character. Comes from a great family. And as junior high school moved into high school, some of the classes that I took in high school were these part of these accelerated learning program classes. And I was amazed to find out that I had Kurgan in almost all of mine. I think probably the first, I don't even know how many years it was, but there was I think 1 year where I had the guy in almost like every fucking hour. So you gotta figure like that's like being with somebody for like an 8 hour workday. You know, you're with them in morning classes throughout the day, and then you had the same lunch schedule. You know how it is sort of with school, right? And that was one of the few times where I feel like I finally, unfortunately, like I had some years. I think I had 1 year in junior high school where this kid was always starting to kill me, who'd kind of beat me up. And I swear, like, he was in every one of my fucking classes. I just could not get away from him. And so as high school came around and I became friends with Kurgan, didn't really know him that well up until that point. But then especially in those early high school years, really became friends with the man. And God, he's got great artistic talent. He told me after I was talking about him with this music, he's like, oh, it's, about one of the only talents I have. Not true, let me tell you. Number one, the guy was a very knowledgeable strength trainer. And I don't know if any of you read, but there's a series of books called with a character Jack Reacher by Lee Child. As a matter of fact, they even recently had a series on Amazon called Reacher, and a couple of movies. And in the books, Jack Reacher's described as being this more or less 6'5" force of nature, who isn't like a bodybuilder showroom looking guy, but just a big fucking dude that, and he's not like boyishly handsome. As a matter of fact, the character describes himself as being unfortunately unattractive, but the ruggedness and whatever of his features just give him sort of this wholesome, attractive appearance. Kurgan, at least in the body type and shape and everything else, if you read those books, the man would have been perfectly fucking cast for Jack Reacher. So, number one, here's to your non-existent movie career. But Kurgan was in some movies. Because we did some movies in high school. So let's talk about his talents. Number one, the dude is a fucking incredible musician. You've heard the music that he's played. He does all that himself. He has some drum machine programs that he uses, but then he plays the guitar pieces. He writes it, he plays it. The guy's got fucking musical talent. I envy that because I have none. I don't even think I could play the kazoo very well. I'll have to tell a story about that some other time about my dad trying to learn to play the harmonica, which is charming and adorable. But fantastic musician. The guy also can draw really well. We used to, or at least I, well, we both used to draw these comics a lot in high school. Some of them which are pretty terrible, let me be honest. But my drawings were always, well, you've seen my artwork, so you know what it sort of looks like. But Kurgan can draw really well. He can draw things that have the perfect mix of like realism and sort of a cartoon. Sort of a Mike Judge-esque sort of style, but a very good artist. And also, another one of his talents is he's just really fucking smart. The guy is an ace at math. I was always amazed at how well he did in math and chemistry, and went on to basically utilize that as a lot of his career. But for being a guy that looks like he could play some sort of role in fucking Game of Thrones. He looks like he could have played the role of the Hound, just a big guy, but extremely smart, and in that regard, very kind, loves his family, loves his friends, loves to laugh. I don't want to say the dude doesn't have a mean bone in his body, but you were a great friend to me in high school, man. I think of high school and that being not, in a lot of ways, such a great time for me. And a great majority of all of the positive memories that I have of high school was due to your friendship, dude. And I learned a lot from you. I learned a lot about my own lack of confidence and getting confidence. And you opened my eyes to a new world of music. And, fuck, you're one of my best friends, man. And I'll never forget all the fucking adventures and laughs and stories that we had, dude. So, here's a cheers to you, brother. Happy birthday. Black Cat says, "What a wonderful tribute." I hope so. Guy is one of the best. I miss the hell out of him. He's see him now and then. Every now and then he stops by, but great dude. Really, really fucking great dude. You to me, you think about like people that I've known sort of in life where this is gonna sound kind of mean, but you come across some people where you're like, I don't know, you just dismiss them as being just another whatever style person. But a lot of my friends, including most all of you, and you think about those people like, man, they break the mold when they make somebody like that. That's one of a kind. That's a real solid motherfucker right there. And that's Kurgan. Cheers to a forever friendship, indeed. Just to play, he got me into, like I say, another thing, right? Like, he was one of the first people that I knew. So we used to play Doom 2 and Doom a lot in like high school. And he got into playing games and he got really into Quake. And he was the first person that I knew who got invested in and bought a 3D accelerator card. And I didn't really know about them much at the time and figured, well, what's that really going to do? And I remember seeing that 3D FX, the Voodoo 3D FX card that he bought, and seeing Quake, and that was like, holy shit. So, again, guy, knowledgeable with computers, has a great grasp of technology, math, physics, chemistry, bodybuilding and working out. Shit, I wish I had time to work out with you back in the day. I just didn't have an inclination towards it back then, I guess. I don't know. But what a great dude. So many fucking laughs and hilarious stories with that guy. It's easy nowadays to have a friend, or I'm sorry, it's not easy nowadays to have a friend that long, Krista says. Hashtag ride or die. You ain't kidding. Cheers to him, Dash says. Fucking cheers. So many, like, it was classic too. Like, I remember occasionally, I think there's a couple of times we like skipped school or like he had this fucking old badass Camaro used to drive around in. And I just remember driving around in that listening to fucking Megadeth and Metallica, Pantera, like just what great fucking memories. And we did this one video for school. And this video that we did for school, I can't believe we did what we did in it, because if you did it now, you'd be fucking, you'd get detention at the best, expelled at the worst. And it wasn't even that we did anything like illegal. It was just we were doing a book review of the book The Jungle by Upton Sinclair. And so the teacher remarked that in the video that we did, we needed to be as close to the source material or get docked points. So, of course, I thought that would be funny to include a lot of vulgar language, as is in the book. And the teacher, as she's watching this, starts to sort of yell at us. And I'm like, well, it's passages directly from the book. You said it had to be authentic to the book. I'm just reading the parts of the book. These are the passages in the book that I found the most shocking because of how terrible they are. And that was the thing. Again, Kurgan, much, maybe not as much as me, but mischievous intelligence every now and then. And there's a portion where we're acting out this factory scene. Again, this is, I don't know, 10th grade or something like that. We're acting out this factory machine, and it's Kurgan and another friend of mine sitting at this table, and it's supposed to be where they're in like some meat plant. And so another friend walks in, and he's like, "Hey, come on, the break's over. Get back to work." And he's like, "Yeah, smooth that meat." And they have these meat patties. And I blow this whistle off screen. And he's like, "That's it, it's break time." And so Kurgan has a fucking cigarette. He's just smoking a cigarette on camera. And he puts it out in this patty of hamburger and like throws it on the table and walks off the screen. Yeah, just visibly smoking a high school video. His parents, I think, knew he smoked. Just beating a heater. So fucking funny. Good times, man. Good times. There was another time where we had this chemistry teacher, and the guy was like straight up fucking what's that guy? Ben, it's like straight up like Ben Stein. And when he would teach class, he would often go off on a ramble like this. And then he would turn around and he would start writing on the chalkboard. Now, class, can anyone tell me what the conversion of this is in moles? Like, guys, and so we called him Mr. Borland because he's fucking. Or Boro, we called him Boro, as a mix of Goro from Mortal Kombat and being boring as hell. And so we're in this chemistry class, and for whatever reason, Kurgan is sitting at a table, and like, here's the thing: I would eat a bunch of Doritos and do Mountain Dew and stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning fucking around on computers. And I would sleep in a lot of these classes. And so I would do the classic, like you bridge your hands like this, like you're looking at your book, but I'd just be sleeping. And so I would just fucking sleep. Like, I don't know how I didn't fail all these fucking classes, but like, I was a piece of shit. And Kurgan, meanwhile, was like super interested in it and doing very well. And so he's doing his classwork. And at some point, I think he asks, could you something like write that a little bigger so he could see it or something? But he asks a very reasonable question of the teacher in a very reasonable way. And again, this is a guy who gets, he's, I don't know, he's probably getting like straight A's or something in the class. And so I don't remember what the teacher would ever says, but like Sean just goes back to doing his work. And this teacher turns around and he's like, "Sean, why don't you go out in the hall?" I said, "What the f? Like, you want me to go out in the hall?" "Yeah, go out in the hall." And so he gets up and he, like, leaves the fucking room. And then the teacher goes out and, like, I don't know if he thought he said something else to him or whatever, but, like, the other thing was, this guy was, like, little. Kurgan is giant, but, like, just he, "You want me to go out in the hall?" And grabs all his stuff and goes rushing out of the room. That was the same class where the guy was late, the teacher was late, and so another buddy of mine just figured out that the gas lines to the Bunsen burners weren't turned off, and turned one on and slid it on fire and was lighting like toilet paper on fire. So he's making these like fireballs. Teacher guy comes in and goes, "Hey, what are you doing?" He's like, "Getting detention." He's like, "Yeah, why don't you go down to the office?" Getting detention. A bunch of assholes. And then we ended up that same fucking class. We ended up getting. He ended up like leaving. He got some. I can't remember what happened. We ended up getting this other teacher. Then it was like started as a substitute, and then became like a permanent teacher. And she was like so hack that I'm fairly convinced that that's why I didn't fail or get a shitty mark in chemistry. Because we had some experiment thing that we needed to do. It was some, I can't remember, it was like something with like shooting cannons or some shit. And I don't know, I think we did good enough on that where she was impressed enough. And I was enough of a bullshitter that I ended up getting, I think, a C or something in that class. I think I slept almost every hour. As a matter of fact, I got in trouble from that. Well, I got half in trouble. Because I'd almost always sleep through my first hour. But for whatever reason, I had a real aptitude in that class. And so there was a parent-teacher conferences, and my dad's like, "Hey, I need to have a talk to you about this first hour." I'm like, "What's up?" It's like, "Well, teacher told me he's caught you sleeping a lot in that class. He thinks you often are sleeping during the class. But he kind of can't be too mad at you because apparently you're doing excellent and he finds some of your papers to be the best of the class." So we knocked that shit off. Fucking high school. But seriously, man, Kurgan, you, of all the memories that I have of fucking high school and junior high, you, man, you were my best buds. So, cheers to you out there. Here's to another trip around the sun, and here's to a whole lot more. So, let's call this episode, as we say at the end of all of them, stay safe, keep the faith, and all that good shit. Make sure you get yourself some rest, and we will see you again tomorrow. Have a good night.